So today is called the consent of the governed, and I think actually we're doing pretty good today. We're doing pretty good today insofar as just about everything we're going to talk about in one way or another hinges on this idea of the consent of the governed. So what does it mean to have a government that governs by the consent of the governed? Well, if you, like I did, grew up with a relatively normal pre-critical race theory version of American education, then you were more or less taught that the United States was almost unique in the world and in history because we did not have kings, we did not have dictators, we did not have a government that was given the right by God to rule. Instead, no, America is great, and America is special. And hello, Peter Parker, welcome back to the stream. But America is great, and America is special because we govern ourselves. And of course, to my young, inquiring mind, I had to ask myself, well, then why are there police? Why are there laws? If we govern ourselves, why don't I just govern myself? And there's a long explanation to all of this that, well, the legitimacy of government authority comes from the fact that we all get a chance to vote on what the government actually does. And my young mind thought, well, but my vote, if you have 150 million people voting, as we did in the 2020 election, my vote doesn't really mean anything, does it? Like, unless I'm millions of people, or I can somehow influence millions of people, what I have to say and what I think doesn't really matter. And it's interesting because this idea of consent of the governed, people governed by their own consent, comes from a time and a place where the city or the civilization, the society, was many orders of magnitude smaller than it is today. It comes to us indeed from something that at the time of the founding of the United States was common knowledge, at least among the educated people, and that is ancient Greek history. But even then, even in those days, when the city-state was a real thing and wasn't limited to just Singapore and Dubai, even in those days, there were those who had issues with this concept of consent of the governed, with this idea that somehow we can govern ourselves, that such a concept even has any legitimacy. And so to talk about this, I want to come over here to something I happened to open up last night. Now, I.F. Stone, if you don't know who he was a self-proclaimed muckraking journalist for most of his career, and kind of a socialist guy, but a very, like, power-to-the-people kind of socialist, as opposed to a doctrinaire Marxist kind of fellow who walks around quoting Karl Marx all the time. Those people are, to my way of thinking, just as annoying as what George Carlin called anyone who mentions Jesus more than 300 times in a two-minute conversation. I.F. Stone did not fall victim to this. But it's okay, Peter Parker. I don't even hear mockery. I'm too philosophical for that. And as we continue this discussion, you will see why. So I want to talk a little bit about this because I.F. Stone, in his old age, he said he had a little heart trouble and he couldn't handle the stress of being a muckraking journalist anymore. So he retired, learned ancient Greek, and decided to study the ancient Greeks. So his book, The Trial of Socrates, is really good, even though, as it turns out, not a huge fan of Socrates, because I.F. Stone was a big believer in democracy. He was what you might call a democratic socialist. I mean, this is democratic socialism before Bernie Sanders and AOC got to it and turned it into a Twitter hashtag. This is real democratic socialism. We really believe that the people should actually get what the people want. In other words, if I.F. Stone was alive today, he would be decidedly more democratic and decidedly more socialist than anybody in the current political mainstream. But anyway, I want to read a little bit of this. I've got some highlighted parts here from the first chapter of his book about why he doesn't really like Socrates. And then I want to talk about this other idea that really does, to my way of thinking, constitute a substitute for this kind of very shaky idea that somehow we govern ourselves. And I've got some examples later on to show the ridiculousness of the idea that even in the United States, even in the freest possible constitutional republic, we still don't really govern ourselves. We still are governed by other people. But we'll get to all of that. For right now, I.F. Stone writes, "To judge only by Plato, one might conclude that Socrates got into trouble with his fellow citizens by exhorting them to virtue. Never an endearing occupation. But if we turn away from the apology, Socrates' defense speech where he lays out his worldview, for a wider view, we will see that the conflict between Socrates and his native city began because he differed so profoundly from most of his fellow Athenians and, indeed, from the ancient Greeks generally. On three basic philosophical questions." We're not going to examine the three philosophical questions because I don't want to get too deep in the philosophical weeds. I want to talk about whether or not it makes any sense to say that we govern ourselves or that we even can govern ourselves in any like political sense at all. And yes, Johnson, I.F. Stone is extremely based. Well, I don't know. Is he based? Based has different connotations. But whatever. I get where you're coming from. So, the first and most fundamental disagreement was on the nature of human community. Was it, as the Greeks would have said, a polis, a free city? Or was it, as Socrates so often said, a herd? So one of the key ideas here comes to us from Aristotle, and he talks a little bit about Aristotle here, but I don't want to just sit here and read the whole time. So what I want to really do is just explain it so that we can actually talk about it. So the idea here, and Aristotle says this at the beginning of his Politics, he says man, humankind, is the only political animal. Now, that doesn't mean, as I.F. Stone explains, that doesn't mean that man is the only animal that votes. It doesn't mean man is the only animal that takes out campaign ads on Facebook. Nor does it mean man is the only animal that forms political parties. Though, as far as we can tell, these are also true statements. But what Aristotle was talking about, and what we're talking about now, is that mankind, humankind, Homo sapiens sapiens, is the only creature that lives in free societies. So bees live in societies, cows live in societies, and if you look at, for example, bees or ants, their social organizations are extremely complex. But that doesn't mean you can sit down an individual ant and have a conversation with it about justice, or about virtue, or about doing the right thing. No one really governs an ant colony, Aristotle points out. Ants just kind of do what they do. Bees just do what they do. And the very complex social organization is kind of naturally arising. It's programmed into their very DNA. But democracy is not programmed into my DNA. Neither is monarchism, for that matter. In fact, one could say that politics is entirely an operation of the prefrontal cortex, at least when it's at its best. Or at least we would hope so. Though most of the time, if you look at politics now, it's more of an amygdala function. Most of us are more in the emotional part of the brain and not really thinking with our intellectual smart part of our brain when it comes to political stuff. But anyway, so Socrates has a very different idea, though. At least Socrates, as far as we understand what he actually thought. Because, like Jesus, Socrates didn't write anything down himself, and there's a lot of evidence that maybe his followers didn't always grasp everything that he was actually trying to teach them. So Socrates, as far as we can tell, has this very different idea that humanity, as I.F. Stone writes right here, humanity is not based on free societies, it's a herd. That, fundamentally, we're not so different from the animals. that the human society, the polis of which the ancient Greeks and Aristotle and even Plato were proud, is nothing more than a more sophisticated version of what the cows and the wolves are already doing. That we've just dressed it up and we've put some logos on it and we dress up in nice suits and we pontificate about justice and doing the right thing and rights that come from God, whatever that means. When in reality, most of us are wolves or sheep or cows, sometimes even bees. If you've been to the DMV or dealt with the IRS recently, you'll know the bees I'm talking about. So the Greek word polis, or city, this is I.F. Stone, and its various derivatives carried very different connotations than they do today. To be a politeis, a citizen of a polis, was a badge of honor. It implied that the citizen had a right to debate and a right to vote on the decisions that affected his life and that of his city. Sounds very just, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound nice? We live in a city. We have the right to debate and we have the right to vote on the decisions that affect my life. And I am proud to be part of this free society. We are better than those of you who grovel at the feet of your kings. I grovel at the feet of no man. But in reality, it really doesn't work that way. Anyone who's ever been sitting in traffic as the presidential motorcade went by may have second thoughts about looking down on people who have to grovel at the feet of their kings. That the egalitarianism that supposedly underlies our constitutional order is not so much egalitarianism in effect as it is egalitarianism on paper. And specifically on paper that is increasingly not read, by which I'm referring to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. So, to go down to the next important part here. So, for the Greeks, the polis has a very special characteristic that distinguishes it from other forms of human community. So we're talking about something different than the very oldest forms of human societies, which would be like the tribe, the family, or as I.F. Stone points out, master and slave, because slavery is very, very old. It was, this is I.F. Stone, as Aristotle says, quote, an association of free men, as distinguished from such other and earlier forms of association as the family, ruled by a patriarch, or monarchy, or like the tribal chieftain, who kind of functions as a local patriarch, or the relation of master and slave. The polis governed itself. And there's some of that pride I was talking about. The ruled were the rulers. As Aristotle described it, the citizen, quote, takes turns to govern and be governed. Whether in oligarchies, where citizenship was restricted, or in democracies, like Athens, where all free-born males were citizens and therefore could vote and participate in the political process. And by the way, as it says here, major offices were filled by election, but others were filled by lot. As in, everybody's name goes in a hat and we pick out random people and they get to be president for the next year, or they get this office or they get that office. Can you imagine if we actually tried to do that? I know in theory we do jury duty that way, but imagine if the president was chosen by lot. We put every eligible person's name into a giant hat and then somebody, would you drop the hat off in the middle of nowhere in Kansas? Somebody reaches in, pulls out a name and says, okay, Joe Schmo is now the president for 4 years. Sounds a little ridiculous, doesn't it? But why does it sound ridiculous? Because we have a very different conception from these, what you might call true Democrats, true small d Democrats, as in not members of the Democratic Party, but people who believe in democracy. And Cottonmouth seems to think that would be better than what we have now. You know, there's a chance that might be the case. But for the time being, let's just suffice it to say it sounds a little weird to think of us as filling political posts by drawing names out of a hat when this is how this society functioned for a long time, hundreds of years. So, major offices were filled by election, but many others were filled by lot. But I.F. Stone gets something wrong here. He says they did it to give all citizens an equal chance to participate in government. This is his socialism showing. The purpose of doing things by lot is not to give everyone a chance. This is not preschool, and you don't get a participation trophy for serving in the Athenian government. No. The reason it was chosen by lot was because service in the government was thought of as a service to society, a public service. Having your name chosen from the hat was like being drafted into the military back in the 1940s or 50s. You're going to go do a public service, and maybe it's not something you really want to do, but you're going to go do it because you have to. But it was not this idea that everyone deserves an equal chance to have their voice heard. That's a more modern conception, right? Especially because you have Athens and most of the free Greek city-states are existing in these little islands of so-called self-government, surrounded on all sides by monarchies, surrounded on all sides by emperors and Cyrus the Great and tribal chieftains to the north in Macedonia and what today is the Balkans, the pharaohs to the south, all of that stuff. The Athenians are very unique here, and they're very proud of their uniqueness. But Socrates was having none of it. For both sides, so these are the oligarchs, or the believers in oligarchy, there should be a few citizens who get the right to vote and the right to decide what's going to happen in the polis, versus the Democrats, who believe everybody gets a voice, let's expand voting rights. Weirdly kind of corresponds to Republicans and Democrats today, but that's aside the point. Socrates was neither an oligarch nor a Democrat. He believed in something else entirely. He didn't believe in this idea of self-government. He didn't really think it was legitimate. Thought it was just ruled by a mob, and he's not alone in that conception. But this is kind of key right here. For both sides, the oligarchs, the ancient Republicans, and the ancient Democrats, you might say, politics, the very life of the city, lay in self-government. And to oppose self-government was to be not just anti-democratic, but anti-political. This is how Socrates looked to most of his contemporaries. And I think that he glosses over this and he doesn't really talk about it again. But it's a key point. He is anti-political. And if you go back to the apology, the defense speech, he says, well, Socrates, why have you never served in government? If you're so interested in talking about virtue, if you're so interested in teaching other people to be good, why don't you just go serve in government? And Socrates says, I can't, because I am not willing to say appeasing things to the crowd. I'm not willing to debase myself to get votes. And in order to be in political life, I would have to do that. I would have to tell the people what they want to hear in order to get votes, if I wanted any political power. And I'd rather focus on saying only the truth when I feel it, the way I feel it, the way I understand it. Seek the truth as best I know how. And that doesn't lend itself to politics. And if you need confirmation of that, you need only look at the fact that the Athenian Democrats executed him for being too dangerous. So, he stood apart on either side. His ideal, as we see it, variously expressed in both Xenophon and Plato, and reflected in what we know of the other Socratics, was ruled neither by the few nor by the many, but, as he put it in Memorabilia, by one who knows. And I.F. Stone goes on to explain, correctly in fact, that he didn't really believe in any of the checks and balances. He didn't believe in self-government. If you look at it from a purely political perspective, as I.F. Stone here does, you will inevitably come to the conclusion that what Socrates really believed in was totalitarianism. And he got a lot of criticism for that, and ultimately he was, as I.F. Stone points out, executed for it. But if you look at this, there's one quote in here that is really good and really telling. We know of nobody, Socrates says, who has shown himself to be a good statesman in this city of ours. I think, Socrates says, I am one of the few, perhaps the only one, who attempts the true art of statesmanship. And this from the mouth of the same person who said, I could never serve in government. I can never serve in government, but I'm the only one who actually practices statecraft. So maybe he's talking about something else. Maybe it's not just about who gets the right to operate the coercive mechanisms of government. And this is the mistake I.F. Stone makes. This is the mistake I think a lot of people make. To think that ultimately power proceeds from the barrel of a gun. But it doesn't. Power proceeds from people working together. If I can get a bunch of people to work together in pursuit of a common goal, I have power. If people listen to me and I say, guys, we're all going to go over here and do this, and they listen to me, I have power. And so if there's large numbers of people who have come to the conclusion from long association with me that I am this person who knows, then they will follow me. And if I run across someone who I find by long association with them is the one who knows, I will follow them. Anybody who's ever gone on YouTube and watched a motivational speaker or somebody who's going to teach you how to make $8,000 a day with a side hustle and drive a Lamborghini just like me has participated in this process. Hey, look, this person knows something I don't know. Therefore, I'm going to follow them and I'm going to listen to them. And if they say you need to wake up every morning and eat 3.5 eggs, and then you need to eat celery for lunch, and then you need to eat boiled fish for dinner, and you should sleep 7.5 hours a night, do this with your money, speak like this, think like this, talk like this, feel like this, we would feel in no way that this person had encroached upon our rights. Because such a person is not using coercive power. They're not using force to get us to do what they think we should do. They are just saying what we should do. And we follow them. The force behind their power is not the barrel of a gun, but their own knowledge. And so this is what is meant by rule by experts. Experts aren't held in super high regard right now. After the whole COVID thing, a lot of people. Look at even the medical establishment. Once upon a time, you look at the medical establishment like, oh, doctors, they just want to help people. They're all honest. Now we look at them and say, this is political. And they're interested in the coercive power of the state. In other words, if we all really trusted the medical establishment as represented by the CDC, there would be no need for lockdowns or mask mandates. You would simply say, hey, look, there's a disease. Here's what we know about it. And here's what we think you should do. And everybody would do it because we trusted their authority. But as surveys have shown, trust in institutions is at an all-time low. And when that happens, then you have to break out that power that proceeds from the barrel of a gun. If you, like Mao Zedong, believe that power proceeds from the barrel of a gun, all it means is that you have no real power. And so you have to use force. Because true leadership, true power, proceeds from not the ability to coerce, but the ability to convince. Not by force of rhetoric, not with clever sales techniques, but by simply speaking the truth. And ultimately, what we can take away from this is that ideologies, those things which seek to seize the levers of coercive power and use that coercive power to impose some vision on a society, they necessarily have to use that coercive power because their ideas themselves lack power. Because ideologies necessarily simplify everything. They necessarily leave stuff out. There's no way to have an ideology that includes all of the complexities of the universe. Indeed, if you had one, if you had an ideology that really took into account all the complexity of the universe, it would take as long to explain it as the life of the universe. Indeed, such an ideology would be the universe itself. Like that theoretical computer that could plot the position of every atom in the known universe, given their starting position and velocity, a computer that big enough to do that would have to be the size of the universe. It would just be the universe. And watching it perform its calculations would be watching the unfolding of the history of the universe. So I've been saying on this show, oh, I'm a libertarian. I believe people should be left alone. But that's still ideology. I'm still taking this lens and saying, well, free market capitalism and the government leaving people alone and sound money and this, that, and the other. But there's a lot of complexities to life. And I found myself questioning my commitment to all of that. And so what I have to do now is say, you know what? I back off from all ideology. And what I want to do instead is contemplate and meditate and create within myself a place of peace. So that regardless of what goes on out there in the world, I can do like what Thoreau talks about here. This is from his Civil Disobedience. Because he says, can there not be a government in which majorities do not virtually decide right and wrong, but conscience. And then further goes on to say, it is not desirable to cultivate a respect for law so much as for right. The only obligation I have a right to assume is to do at any time what I think right. So I'm going to pursue knowledge of what I believe to be right, and I'm going to do that, regardless of the consequences that accrue to me as a result. And if that is up, if I make that my first priority, neither guns, nor prison, nor coercion, nor convincing, nor the rhetorical tricks of people on Twitter can convince me otherwise, or can shake me from my commitment to my moral principles. I become the most powerful being in my universe by so doing. And I'd much rather have that than try to get the majority to agree with me. So let's take a look at the chat here. All right, so Shiba Zurkter says, anyone else think young Joe Biden was kind of hot? No, not really. Though, frankly, I don't think most young men are hot. Maybe that's just me, but whatever. And then Shiba Zoo says, why do you talk like Ben Shapiro? Actually, Shiba Zoo, you know what the truth is? I am Ben Shapiro. So congratulations, you discovered it. Dan Stewart says, apparently politicians throughout the ages are just like modern day politicians in that their highest talent is deception. I'm inclined to agree. I am inclined to say that any institution that spends too much time proclaiming how just and righteous it is generally can't be trusted. As I like to say, the United States Department of War became the Department of Defense right about the time we stopped using it for defense. We have to proclaim that it's just for defense because that's not actually what we're doing. If we only used it for defense, we could call it the Department of Killing People or the Department of War, and it would be fine. But the lady doth protest too much, methinks. Public Citizen says, I have created the ultimate equation to solve all of these social problems, but unfortunately I can't share it. Well, you kind of sound like the guy who eats a bunch of psychedelic mushrooms and then says, well, guys, I found the meaning of the universe, but then the mushrooms wore off and I can't remember what it was. So congratulations if you have truly found the equation, but until you can share it, I am suspicious. And I certainly won't be voting for you based on any promises like that. And then Dan Stewart says, I really appreciate Patrick's ability to reach to diverse bodies of philosophy. Well, I'm just going to blush. I'm going to turn the color of these roses on my hilarious shirt here. Thank you for that, Peter Parker. And again, I didn't even think of what you were doing as mocking me. I realize these are ridiculous shirts, but that's part of the fun. You have to have fun, right? And philosophy or whatever else aside, we have to have fun. And frankly, that's what we're going to do today. Because I just, from all of this philosophizing today, the takeaway here is that I remember I know nothing. That any knowledge or wisdom I could acquire is insignificant in the face of what's actually out there. So we're going to sit here and we're going to comment on politics and we're going to bring Bianca on here in about 20 seconds. But I have to remember, I don't really know anything. And that means I can relax. I can give my opinion on stuff, and I'll probably be wrong about a bunch of things I say. But hey, we're just here to have fun. Because what else are we going to do? What are we going to change America? Institute the utopia? Utopias are boring. All right. So that brings us to the end of our meditation. All right. So let's go ahead and bring on Bianca here. All right. I think she actually is here. All right. Hello, Bianca.
Oh, my God, Patrick, it is so great to be back.
All right. Well, welcome back to the show. We're glad you're feeling better. We had a bunch of people gave you some well wishes last week when I read that little statement you wrote there about aliens and mermaids and your kidneys attacked you and you'll be back. And I showed the picture and everything. So ideally, everyone is has been, you know, praying for you, sacrificing to the gods of health for you. I know you were very frustrated because you didn't get to come on last week and you really wanted to talk about this aliens thing.
All I wanted to say is that I was right and everyone's like, oh my God, look at her. She's so dumb. But like, yes, it was right. Me, I'm always right. Aliens are the mermaids of the sky and the mermaids are the aliens of the ocean. And also, I would just like to say there is a conspiracy going around on TikTok that the sky is actually water.
The sky is actually... Where do you find these things?
I'm just like, I'm really plugged in on TikTok. Like, they, like, people really are like, Bianca, 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 like, look at this, look at this. What do you think of this? Because, you know, I know everything, and my opinion is very important to my fans and the general public.
All right. Well, Peter Parker says, hi, Bianca, I love you. So everybody's glad to see you back. But I do want to catch up on this alien story because it was a great story from last week that we didn't really get to talk about because you weren't here. And, you know, I can talk about it, but I'm a skeptic at heart. No one is a believer like you are in
Thank you for noticing all
sorts of things, frankly.
Right.
So we had this story last week. They released this video and we have people from the Navy talking about 14 unidentified spherical flying objects swarming their aircraft carrier, sticking around for several hours and then vanishing into the ocean. Now, of course, a lot of people say that this, oh, it's coming from the Pentagon. So can we really trust it? Whereas other people are going, oh my God, this is it. Here come the aliens. What are your thoughts on all of this? Is this just the government messing with us?
Okay, so first of all, do you really think that the government is going to tell us things just because they want us to be like clued in and like want our opinion on it? No, there is something bigger going on right here, okay? So what I want to introduce to everybody watching, all of my beautiful fans, called Project Blue Book, okay? So the aliens are coming in June. Like, there might be like an alien invasion, but here's the thing about aliens. They're a lot smarter than us. Like I said before, they look at us like little human pets, right? So if they wanted to disintegrate Earth, they would have already been done that, right? So if they were attacking, they wouldn't like come down and attack and like risk like them losing lives. They would just like press a button and then Earth would just like disappear. So when you see aliens in the sky, just know it's a hologram created by the government so that the government can create a one world thing so that we all have to come together and there's no more like countries or whatever. It's just a one world government. Yes, you guys know where I'm going with this. Okay, so you see what I'm saying? So it's just a hologram and nothing's real. Aliens are benevolent except for the reptilians. They're bad. But just know that when the president or whoever comes on TV or like the king of the world and is like, everyone, we're in danger. Everybody needs to do this and this and listen to us because we're in a state of emergency. Don't listen to them. Don't listen. Don't listen. They're haters. Like DJ Khaled said, like they're preying on your downfall. So just like don't even listen to them because they're lying. Listen to your heart and your aura.
Well, hey, that actually sounds pretty similar to what we were just talking about in our meditation segment, which came to us from Thoreau talking about my only obligation is to do what at the time I understand to be right. And he talked about a government not by the majority, but by conscience instead. Like if we have to give up our conscience to a legislator, then why do we have one? If I'm not supposed to use it, if I'm supposed to listen to the government or somebody else, why do I have a conscience? Right.
Yes.
But I don't want to get too in the weeds on that. We already spent 30 minutes on that. So just to be clear here, you're telling me that the government is staging an alien invasion, a fake one, in order to produce a one world government.
That is correct. So that they could be like, you guys do this. Give us all your money. Give us all your guns. Give us all your freedom and your rights. And then we'll be like, oh my God, well, the aliens are here and they have our best interest at heart. So I guess we'll just listen to these people in the gas masks. Wrong. Don't do it, people. Stand strong.
This sounds very similar to arguments I've heard against lockdowns and mask mandates.
Right.
But I guess
right.
In the case of an alien invasion, it would be
it's
much
the
more
same
serious.
Thing. And everyone thinks that it's just like a coincidence that like all this stuff is happening now. No, this has been the plan since like, oh wait, okay. Actually probably way before that, probably like 1908. Okay. This has been the plan. And the lockdown or whatever, locking us in our houses. Thank God I live in a mansion and mine is very fun and I have an indoor pool and a game room. But all these other people who don't have that, like, they're probably so bored. That's just rude. Anyways.
Well, Coupon says, are you pro decentralization?
I am the central of the universe, so I am pro me being the center of attention always.
Okay, well, Coupon, to answer your question, I would, yes, be pro-decentralization. I think it's a good idea. And you see a lot of organizations use it to great effect, like subsidiarity as an organizational principle, like in the military, has proven to be very useful. You can't cut the head off an organization that's super decentralized. But it, as I guess, for Bianca, she's not in favor of decentralization as long as she gets to be the center of the universe. So right. that answers your question. We have some philosophical divergence on that question. And then Public Citizen says DJ Khaled is a great source for philosophy and political analysis.
I hate DJ Khaled. He is so annoying. My favorite video on the internet is of him, like, his wife is, like, working out and, like, boxing, and he's like, you can do it. You can do it. Never give up. And she's like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't want to hear you. And it's just the best thing ever because somebody needed to tell him because he sucks. And then that one time when he got lost on the jet skis in the ocean, I wish he would have stayed lost.
Or gone. He got lost on the ocean.
And on a jet ski because he's dumb.
I feel like it's hard to get lost on the ocean.
Unless
you're out in the middle of nowhere, like, just pick a direction and go in that direction and eventually you'll hit land.
Yeah, but what if you run into the Bermuda Triangle and then, oops, never going to see you ever again, ever, as long as we live, ever, maybe in another dimension or time, or maybe a tear of time and space. But,
hold on a second here, because we were talking about the aliens thing.
Oh, right.
And that's I want to focus on that because you said some very interesting things that I think deserve at least to be questioned. But so the, all right, something about holograms. Can you run me through that again?
Okay, so I just want to make it very, very clear. Okay, the government obviously has the technology to create holograms in the sky to, like, make things look like they're happening. Like, the Northern Lights have been artificially produced since 2017. Okay, the government is like they're controlling everything. And if you think about it, creating weather isn't even that hard. All you have to do is, like, create a reaction in the universe. I mean, in the atmosphere. So I feel like it's not even that hard. They control the weather. They control everything, right? So holograms, they obviously have that power. I mean, Kanye West gave Kim Kardashian a hologram of her father for her birthday. And you don't think that the government has that technology? You think only Kanye West has that? No, y'all are dumb. So just know that they can create huge, like, spaceships in the air, and then everyone's gonna be like, oh my God, they're attacking. But they haven't done their research on aliens, because obviously aliens are way more powerful than us. And if they wanted us gone, we would be gone without even, like, a fight. So it's just a ruse, okay?
But maybe they want to enslave us.
Well, we're already enslaved. Earth is a prison planet, so they already did that. What do you think taxes are for? In gold mines. In okay. Copper mines.
Well, Peter Parker says he has to go. I'll be off. Bye, you guys. Have a good one. Love your dut, Bianca. I don't know what D-U-T-T is. I don't know. Maybe he was saying love your butt. I don't know. He loves you, apparently. I don't know. We'll figure that out later. Oh.
Okay.
Dut is the hair, he says.
Ah, thank you so much. I was feeling very Chavish today, and I just went with it.
Yeah, it kind of has, like, almost a flying saucer vibe. Like, maybe one has landed on your head.
Thank you. I'm just on theme. Bianca's on theme, like always.
Okay, so we've established that apparently, at least as far as Bianca knows, the government is projecting holograms of aliens into the sky in order to create a one-world government. But as you point out, we're already enslaved by taxes, right?
No, by reptilians. Okay, the people, the greedy people on this planet want to control everybody and not have to be like, hey, owner of India, can you make your people do this? Like, he just wants to be like, everybody do this. And then he is the president, king of the world, so we have no choice. But the reptilians are the ones who are enslaving us because of their pursuit of bronze and copper and gold.
So the lizard people already control the earth, is what you're saying?
Yes, they were here long before we were.
Okay, so they predate.
I think
we were a
science experiment gone wrong.
Isn't there some movie about that?
Well, okay, hold on, hold on. Okay, okay, here's the thing about movies, though. I mean, everyone's like, wait, that's in a movie. That's in a science fiction movie. Emphasis on fiction. Girl, they tell the truth in movies. Like, y'all just have to open your eyes. And, like, they do that on purpose. So it's like, you're like, oh, no, I saw that in a fiction movie. That obviously can't be real. So, like, you see what I'm saying? Do you see? Like, they're, like, making fun of us. You see?
Sort of. So what? Wait. So the they that's trying to take over the world and produce a one world government is the same they that makes all the movies?
That is correct. They're all like friends. I don't think it's the same group of people, but they're all like BFFs. They like hang out together. They go to underground clubs together. I've been to a few. They're very fun. They have very heavy doors made of stone. Anyways, yeah, they're all BFFs.
So you're one of them.
No, I'm not one of them. I just hung out with them. They're like, you're cool, Bianca. Come on and hang out with us in this underground cave thing. And I was like, oh, okay.
That seems like a good thing to say yes to. Come hang out in an underground cave with us. I try to say no to those requests most of the time. But Dan Stewart says Bianca is making more sense than usual. Is she feeling okay?
Well, you know, I did have a horrible, terrible, awful stay in the hospital, which is also a prison. It's like, Bianca, you can't smoke weed in here. Bianca, put the lighter down. Bianca, stop messing with your IV. Bianca, no, you can't have more morphine. And it's like, shut up. Like, and I'm just really glad to be back in the free world. So I've decided to take my intelligence and my smarts and my studies really seriously.
Okay. And what you're studying is sky holograms.
Yeah, sure. And just like everything. Like, I was like, you know what? Life is short. Let me learn everything there is to learn literally ever about everything. So I know everything.
Okay, fair enough. Well, do you have anything else to add on the aliens topic? Because I have a couple of things I wanted to share with you and get your thoughts on here.
All I wanted to say is that I was right. And just remember that I was the first to say it when it all happened. And if you call me dumb, that's fine. But you'll see.
Oh, okay. Well, we certainly won't call you dumb.
Thank you.
We'll just investigate your ideas and see if they make any sense. But I just wanted to share this with you. This is from the New York Post. Birthday girl gets her entire eyelid ripped off by Chihuahua while getting her lashes done. A birthday girl went to get her eyelashes done for her party, only for her entire eyelid to be torn off by the lash technician's Chihuahua. Kelsey Salmon had wanted to get her eyelashes done for a long-planned trip to Hawaii, but ended up spending her special day recovering in bed after undergoing surgery to have her eyelid reattached. After finding her usual technician was fully booked, the 23-year-old instead found an alternative. But moments after her beauty treatment finished, the technician's dog, which she had been stroking happily earlier, lunged at her in an unprovoked attack. And we see it says, horrifying photos show Kelsey's entire eyelid lay discarded with her brand new extensions still attached. While other images show her looking at the camera with her entire left eyeball exposed. So yeah, I was treated to that image of her eyeball there, but I won't subject anybody else to that for more than a second. So Bianca, are you, now, you have some familiarity with this. You look like you get your lashes done on a pretty regular basis.
No, I would literally never, for reasons like that. Not just like that, but like I've heard of people like going blind and like their eyelashes like straight up falling out. Because the thing about it, okay, is you don't necessarily, like the certification thing is like really elusive. Like there's all these like online courses that you can take. And like, yeah, I mean, legally you can perform eyelash extensions, but like, physically, can you? Like, you could just be going to anyone. You know what I mean? And especially that lash tech, she messed up. She should not have her Chihuahua anywhere near her workstation. What is wrong with this girl? I personally do not get lash extensions, but I have gone with my friends and I've seen it, and that's just horrible. Oh my God. Why would you have your dog to your equipment that you're putting in people's eyes? What if that dog had like fleas or something disgusting from being outside and then it got in that girl's eye? Like, are you serious? Or what if the dog ripped off her eyelid? I don't know. Seems unlikely, right? No, because it happened. This is the issue that I have. And also this thing about finding like service providers on Instagram, I love it, but you need to do your due diligence, okay? Because these people could be trapping you or trying to kidnap you and sell you to like Hillary Clinton or something. Imagine going to get your lashes done and then you wake up in Hillary Clinton's basement.
That would be truly horrifying. I would hate to have to listen to her political opinions for any longer than absolutely necessary. But there is something of a happy ending to the story, because TikTok videos TikTok videos Kelsey made about her ordeal, in which she understandably dubbed it the, quote, worst lash extension experience, went viral, with two of them racking up a combined 8.1 million views. So, I mean, she managed to get some fame out of it. I mean, surely that's some sort of compensation, right?
Yeah, she probably has a GoFundMe. I hope she does. I'll probably donate to it later, because just personally, someone's like, hey, girly, your eyelid or 8.1 million views on TikTok, which I already have, by the way, I would definitely pick my eyelid. So I hope she has a GoFundMe out there. I hope she's okay. And I hope that Lash Tech never does lashes ever again in her life. But I also hope she doesn't have horrible repercussions, because it's like not really necessarily her fault. It's more of like her chihuahua's fault. So maybe the chihuahua should go to court.
So maybe they should put the chihuahua down.
Well, I mean, or we could just put it in doggy jail.
Well, I mean, hey, if I had like a pit bull and my pit bull mauled somebody, they would put the dog down. You'd say, this dog is too aggressive. It has to go away. So maybe the same thing has to happen to this chihuahua.
I mean, all right, it's rude and like slightly racist that you immediately think of pit bulls. Like, I don't know. Why didn't you say like a Doberman or something? Anyways, besides the point, everyone just hates on pit bulls. And it's just like, why do you hate on pit bulls? Like, they didn't do anything. It's their owners. Anyways, I think personally there should be a dog jail. Like, we should not put them down. We should just put them in a field with all the other mean dogs and then just, like, you know.
Isn't there already dog jail? I mean, what's the pound?
Oh, that's so sad. That's a homeless shelter for dogs.
It's a homeless shelter / jail. I mean, they're in cages.
You're right. It should not go to the pound, though. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that, because it makes me sad, because I would be like, yeah, it should be put down, but also I can't. I could never even think about that. I would literally cry right now, and then my eyelashes will fall off, and then it'll just be really sad. So I don't know. That's really sad, though. Oh, my God. For the dog, the lash check, and this girl, but mostly for the girl, that poor girl. I hope she's okay.
Well, it appears that she is, but it's going to take, as far as I could tell from the article, about a year for her eyelid to go back to normal. I mean, she may look weird forever. I don't know.
Just because they sewed it back together for her birthday. Just because she wanted to look pretty for her birthday. That is
right. To my way of thinking, this is what you get for pursuing physical beauty. Just pursue philosophy.
All right, calm down there, because here is the thing. If you're pretty, like for me, when I'm pretty, which is always, and I go out and I say something, people listen to me. But are they listening to the words that I'm saying? No, because rarely the words that I'm saying make any sense. They're looking at my beautiful face and my luscious lashes and my perfect earlobes. I actually love my earlobes. So, yeah.
Well, aren't you saying, though, that because you don't make any sense, you have to be pretty so that people will look at you?
No, I'm saying that because I'm pretty, I don't have to make any sense.
But isn't it better to make sense? Don't you want to make sense?
No, because I live in a crazy world full of fun and chaos and freedom and creative expression. And some people, like, who are like, I don't know, like are boring, like, don't. So I like not making sense. It's lost in translation right here before it gets to here.
Okay. Well, I know that you wanted to talk about this when I brought this up before, and I wasn't going to do this article, but I'm going to do it because you asked me to, and it's one of the things you've said that makes sense, and I want to reward that sort of thing. So this is an article from Nylon.com called Why Millennials Are Always Tired. So, and I'm going to skip this little quote here. Well, I'm just going to talk about the article itself. So when 22-year-old rapper Post Malone, I'm assuming you know who this guy is. I've never listened to Post Malone. Was asked earlier this month why he'd gotten the words always tired tattooed in elaborate script on his face. On the delicate skin just beneath his diazepam blue eyes, he answered, anything to piss my mom off. There had perhaps not been a more relatable quote by a musician since Lana Del Rey said a few years ago, I wish I was dead already. But whereas Del Rey's flirtation with Thanatos was pretty instantly lambasted by people who just didn't understand why she couldn't take death, and by extension life, more seriously, Post Malone's insouciant attitude about his tattoo and the tattoo itself were roundly praised, or at least recognized as being representative of a larger cultural moment, one in which we all feel trapped in some hazy twilight, evocative of our teenage years, when the answer to everything feels like it could be found by burrowing under our covers, drifting off into some hazy twilight before the darkness of adulthood descends, before we become the moms instead of being the ones pissing them off. Being always tired, then, is a delicious abdication of responsibility, a refusal to do anything. It shirks even the amount of action it would take to lay down and die. Being always tired is just about laying down. Do you have any thoughts on any of this?
I have so many thoughts. First of all, I would just like a little side note, like footnote or whatever, header, footer, whatever. I will never be an adult, even though I turned 21 when I was 14. And now that I'm 34, I'm on a youth dodgeball team. They think I'm 12 years old. Either way, I will never be an adult. I don't care. And I just think that everyone is tired. Oh my God, because this world is so hard. And I don't want to go on that rant that I did like a few weeks ago about how like taxes and everything and like let them eat fruit. Like, because I stand by that. I stand by that heavily. And it's because taxes, okay? Income taxes, state taxes, house taxes, person taxes, children taxes, state revenue, socialism. That's why we're all tired all the time, because we can't get a break. We literally just cannot get a break. It's like, I don't have a job, but it's like, Bianca, you gotta work, you gotta pay for this, you gotta do this. Everything costs money. There's a TikTok trend with girls, and they're literally just adding up all the expenses of how much money it costs to be hot every single month, and most is in like the 1400s. Like, are you kidding me? Like it is like, okay, so you want me to wake up, okay, be beautiful, be funny, be charming, be charismatic, go to work, do paperwork, know about taxes, know about stuff having to do with taxes and other things so that the IRA or S or whatever doesn't take me to jail. And it's just everyone is tired because this world is really hard to live in, especially in America. Especially in America. We were literally just meant to be here chilling, eating fruit in the forest, but we're not. We have to, like, the stock market, you know?
Why don't you just spend a little less money on beauty products?
Because the patriarchy says I have to be beautiful or else no one will listen to me and no one will respect me. And I want respect and I want people to listen to me and I want everyone to worship me. So I have no choice. But personally, my expenses have gone down because I just care less. I'm more like free and like hippie vibes than like I used to be. But still, like, it just costs so much money to live. Like, did you know that you have to pay to like be alive, which is like taxes. You have to pay to drink water. You have to pay for food. It is ridiculous. No wonder everyone is so tired. And also Gen Z and millennials, we're just sick of it. We're just sick of it. Something's about to pop off, seriously, because we can't do this forever. Like, we can't do this. And when Lana Del Rey said, I wish I was dead already, girl, I felt that. If I was gonna get a face tattoo, it would be fuck the patriarchy and kill me also at the same time, but not yet. I have like a little bit of life left to live, but like in Million Dollar Baby at the end when her trainer literally just like kills her or whatever because she's like paralyzed. Girl, I felt that. I felt that so hard. That is mood.
So you're feeling paralyzed?
No, I'm saying,
because you certainly don't look paralyzed.
Well, I'm not. I can move, but I'm saying that's like the state of like our vibes as like Gen Z and like millennials. That's like our vibe right now. It's like, why do we even have to do this? This is so dumb. So what? So like some old men who are old and gross and like not even cute can make money? Like, that's what we're doing this for? I don't agree with that. And I just refuse to do it because I am an Aquarius. So I refuse to play the game. I will play the game by my own rules. And my own rules are I'm not working ever and I will be 13 forever, and I don't care what you say. The patriarchy can't change my mind. I don't care.
Well, wait, I thought the patriarchy was the people who wanted you to have to be beautiful before you could be listened to.
All of the above.
But you said you like being beautiful.
Yes, but that's a personal thing. I don't do it for the patriarchy, and sometimes I'll even like shave off my eyebrows or do something really crazy and different, you know, like bite my nails or something, just to be like, hey, I don't need your opinion. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm a little confused here, because you told me that by being beautiful, you didn't have to make any sense, and you liked it that way.
Yes.
But it's the patriarchy that forces you to be beautiful.
Well, it's more like it's the patriarchy who invented, like, all these beauty standards. Like, all these crazy beauty standards that we have to keep up with, and, like, no wonder we're tired. And I'm not just talking about for women, because that used to be my view. Like, oh, only women have to be beautiful. What about the pressure on men and children? Like, you have to be a certain type of way and, like, blah, 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 blah. Even though with men, it's a little bit more lenient, but still, like, the standards apply to everyone, and I just think it's really rude and exhausting and taxing, and not, like, money taxes, but, like, taxing. Like, oh my God, I'm tired. Y'all let me live for 2 seconds. Like, let me be me. Ugh.
So what kind of standards are you talking about here? So let's expand this out. You said the standards on men are more lenient, but they're still there. There's specific guidelines that we have to fit into. What's, like, an example of this?
Okay, so for example, women's bodies are trends. Like in the 90s, heroin skinny was like the latest, coolest, you know, body type to have. And if you don't have that body type, you're gonna literally kill yourself, quite possibly actually kill yourself with an eating disorder to get there. And in this day and age, it's a Kim Kardashian body, which requires 2 BBLs, a boob job, lip fillers, an eyebrow lift, and you gotta get your, buccal fat removed out of your face, right? And earlobe surgery, there is so much to be done. Calf implants, the list goes on. Like, you have to literally look like an hourglass. Or it's like, are you even trying? Like, you obviously don't care about your appearance. And then when I talk about men, okay, so it's like ripped, you know, abs, like, you know what I mean? Very manly vibes. But then when I say it's more lenient, it's because, like, some girls are, like, super into dad bods, right? Like if he doesn't have a dad bod, I don't want him. So the standards are still there, but they're just more lenient. And, like, guys, like, they don't have makeup. They do have plastic surgery, but, like, very few men are, like, out here getting plastic surgery. I'm talking about, like, just, like, the pressure to, like, look right and look how everybody else wants you to look. And, like, ugh, it's very frustrating.
To be fair, I know some men that wear makeup. Well, I know one guy who wears makeup.
Is he... Okay. But I'm talking about the...
And he is heterosexual.
Okay. Well, that's cool. A lot of men in Asia, like BTS, we love BTS, we stan BTS, like the Korean...
I can't tell those guys apart from each other. Or from girls, frankly.
I think some of them are related. I think they might be brothers. But either way... the Korean pop stars all wear makeup, not in like a weird way. And like, I know in America we're moving towards like the, oh, men can wear makeup and it's totally okay. But there's still a little bit of a stigma around it. Like, oh, okay, if he wears makeup, he's probably bi or gay or whatever. But the Korean pop stars wear makeup just so that they look better. Cause they're like, that's stupid for women to do it. And like, we can't do it. Like it makes everybody look better. Like,
I think it really depends on where you go. If you're going to the middle of nowhere in Missouri, you're not going to find any guys wearing makeup. But if you're in, you know, Manhattan or Los Angeles, you'll probably find some guys wearing some makeup. And it has nothing to do with sexuality or anything. It has more to do with, are you an urban city dweller who's up on all the latest fashions, or are you somebody who's living more, a little more out in the woods, so to speak?
Like models.
But it also highlights an interesting divide in the society between the gender roles as they're accepted in these kind of urban centers versus the gender roles as they still exist. Kind of like, I don't want to say left over because that makes it sound like they're almost gone, but more traditional gender roles that exist outside of those city centers, outside of the centers of civilization, so-called, or out in the boonies, you might say.
Right.
I would be curious to see some studies on who's happier.
Nobody, because taxes exist. I personally read something the other day, can't remember, can't sort it or cite it because I don't want to, because I don't care, because I don't retain information like that, that said that America is super unhappy.
That would really not surprise me very much, especially considering like everything that's going on in the world.
Because we're like super rich, right? Like, you know, everyone's like in movies and stuff. I don't know. Maybe this is just because I grew up in America with a slight thing in like East Berlin or whatever. And everyone is like in like movies, everyone like not from America is trying to get to America. And it's like, I feel like that's like nationalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually a great place to come to a stop. So thank you, Bianca, for joining us. That brings us to the end of our Bianca segment. She will be back next week with more fun, whimsical takes on everything under the sun.